From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw His hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from His smitten side. The rain of His grace is always dropping. The river of His bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of His love is constantly overflowing. As the King can never die, so His grace can never fail. Daily we pluck His fruit, and daily His branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in His weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in His years. Who has ever returned from His door unblessed? Who has ever risen from His table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning, and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of His benefits, or recount the list of His bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of His kindness and with the yellow gold of His affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of His favor. The countless stars are but as the standard-bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which He bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of His mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol Him, who daily loadeth us with benefits, and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as His bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but my shame. Awake, psaltery and harp! I myself will awake right early.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue a message entitled, Secure in God's Everlasting Arms, taking as his text Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, one of the most beloved verses in all the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The context is the weaknesses of God's people, especially their physical, temporal problems. The text is also connected to the teaching of a whole chapter, the truth that there is no condemnation to believers in Christ. Because of that, Paul could say, "We know." As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the "all things" mentioned in the verse does not refer to every single event in a believer's life, but to the truth that all things taken together are accomplishing God's purpose in that saint's life. Our assurance of this is founded in the fact of who God is. Now to continue this message, secure in God's everlasting arms, here is Dr. Cairns.
This is the comfort God brings to his people. He assures them that he is the God of providence. And in his controlling providence, every event of life, of whatever kind, far from undermining, negating, or destroying, changing God's purpose of grace toward his people, every such event is actually a means in his hand of accomplishing that purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Now, in working out that message, let me break the text up in a very simple way. We know. Here is an established certainty. Now, in verse 26, interestingly, Paul speaks of something we don't know. In verse 26, he says, we don't know how to pray or what to pray for as we ought. We have already looked at that confession of ignorance. We're so weak. We don't even know what to pray for. Many a time there's such a darkness in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We know we need the Lord. We know that we need the Lord's answer. But we don't even know how to pray and what to pray for as we ought. So there's something we don't know. But here is something that we most assuredly do know. And what it's telling you is, there are many times in this life that you don't know what's going on. You can't explain it. There are many times when the details are beyond your comprehension. They're so far beyond that you're brought to a standstill and say, how do I pray? What am I supposed to say about this? I come to the Lord and my heart is open to Him. I want to pray, but I don't even know what to say. I can't make sense of it all. On the details, there's so much that we can't grasp. But on the major issues, we can speak with assurance. We know. This is a major theme throughout the New Testament. You should take your Bible sometime and just list some of the things we know. These are not opinions. These are not the deliberations of some church council. These are not the best thought out theories of human philosophers. These are the divine certainties, the absolute, eternal, immutable verities of the God of glory. For example, Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. I know him. I'd love to stop and preach in that text. This is my trouble. When I list a lot of these things, I'd want to spend a fortnight. You don't know the meaning of the word fortnight, some of you. That's a two-week period. I could spend a fortnight in each of these. We know that we have eternal life. John tells us we know that we know the Lord Jesus. I like that double. We know that we know Him. It's good to know Him. It's good to know that you know Him. He says we know the truth. We know that the Lord Jesus was manifested to be the propitiation for our sins. We know that we have passed from death unto life. And then in that great statement to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know if we died tonight, it would be absent from the body, it would be present with the Lord. I want to tell you, those are great things to know. I'm glad to use the language of the old-time fundamentalists. I believe in a no-soul salvation. When God says it, that settles it. When God promises it, you can stake your life on it, you can stake your soul on it, you can stake your eternity on it. This is not a theory. This is not some dreamed-up religious system. This is not some theological system. This is the very Word of the living God. We know it. There's a certainty about this. Oh, that we would get the ring of absolute certainty. Oh, the world will want to talk religion to you all day. They'll want to debate with you all day. Away with the debates. This is beyond debate. We know this. And now Paul adds this in our text. One of the greatest things of all that we can know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's a wonderful statement. Now remember I said this connects, the and connects this with the greater context. Back to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What is that telling you? It's telling you that our ultimate salvation is assured. Now let that sink in. This first verse of Romans 8 is saying, this is God's word concerning the justified. There is therefore now no condemnation. That doesn't mean a little bit of condemnation. Doesn't mean what the Pope, for example, says it means, that it means there's no condemnation for some sins, but you've got to go for possibly 10 years or 10 million years to purgatory to sweat out some payment for other sins. Doesn't mean that. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Not a scintilla of the wrath of God remains against a justified man or woman. That means our ultimate salvation is certain. It's absolutely assured. Nothing on earth can change that. Nothing among the events of time can alter that. Now, Paul is talking in this chapter, as we'll see, about some mysterious and terrifying events. He's speaking of things that we would hope would never come our way. But he looks over the whole of the possibilities of human life. And he's saying, look at them. Whatever happens, whoever would come to be for you or to be against you, nothing can change this. It's absolutely certain, totally assured, that God's people have eternal salvation. Therefore, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know, but how can we be so sure? Is this whistling in the dark? Is this somebody going through a time of trouble and they're latching on to anything they can get a grip of? Is this just somebody really desperate for some ray of hope or comfort? No, no, no. This is certain. If you think of, I'm sure you've seen these great girders, these great steel girders. You ever seen one of these massive bridges going up and you see this chasm? And they're going to span this great chasm with this bridge. Then you see the great girders going in, the great foundations upon which that whole structure is going to rest. You can go over the bridge with absolute confidence, unless you live in Minnesota, of course, where. But we'll not get into that. Wasn't it Minnesota? Somewhere up there. You can go over that with absolute confidence. The things that you really don't look at, they're under there, the girders. And I think of some of the great girders of God that are supporting this text. How can I be so sure? You think of God's person. He stands behind this personally. You think of who he is in the Trinity of his sacred persons. God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. You think of the infinite, eternal, absolute God. He's the one who says it. You think of God's purpose, laid down in the counsels of eternity. Before ever an angel was created to wing his way to do the will of God, God in Holy Trinity set down in an everlasting purpose his determination for his people. Thank God that eternal purpose gives us certainty. I've mentioned God's providence. I recommend the study of it to you. In his providence, God preserves, God governs, and God directs our affairs to their appointed end according to his everlasting purpose. Never forget, God's purpose and God's providence are not even remotely connected with what the world calls fate. Not remotely connected with it. This is the personal determination of the all-wise God coming with his omnipotent power and directing and governing to the end appointed. We've got his promise. And in Christ, we have got his provision. You know, if this verse were not true, the whole scheme of salvation wouldn't be worth the paper it takes to write it down. The work of Christ would be a failure. Justification would be a meaningless mystery. But that's impossible. Therefore, Paul stands back. He looks up to his God. He looks up to his Savior. He hears the word, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He says, my salvation is eternally secure. We know that all things therefore work together for good to those who love God. So there's an established certainty here. Now I want to come to the heart of the text, what we know. And here is an encouraging confidence. We know that all things work or are working together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, the meaning must be clear, but yet some people keep on reciting this as if it were saying something very different. This is not to say that everything taken in isolation is either good or pleasant. You always get some person, usually a thoughtless moron, forgive me for being so explicit, but usually thoughtless morons who are not themselves going through very much to challenge, and they come to some who are suffering, who have had some great setback, some real trouble, and they just pat them on the back and they say, oh, all things work together for good. You know, you should really enjoy this. You've just been diagnosed with a deadly disease, but you should really enjoy this. I mean, this is from God. It's not saying that everything taken in itself is good or pleasant. But it is saying that you don't consider anything taken in isolation. God is working all things together. And in that plan, each event has its place and its part in conducting us to the great end. Now, what are these all things? Well, they are all things. But particularly, Paul is talking about sufferings and adversities. He gives us a list of them. If you start at verse 35, he talks about tribulation, distress, peril, famine, nakedness, sword. He says, we're talking now about death. Death. And life. Talking about angels or principalities, demons, and powers. We're talking about everything present. Now you stop and think of what that takes in this world. Paul looks down the whole list of suffering. And he says they're all working together. This is a mystery I do not understand. In Colossians 1, I read of Christ, that in him all things hang together. Now that's speaking of the cosmos. That's speaking of everything that exists in space and time. All the heavenly bodies. Every atom of existence. It is all cohering. It is all hanging together in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians 1 is saying. Now it's coming down to this world. And it's talking about all the events of this world, all the sufferings, all the tears, all the agonies, all the setbacks, all the challenges, as well as all the joys and all the victories. And he says they're all working together, not by some personless fate, but directed by the all-wise hand of an all-powerful Heavenly Father. They are all working together. for good.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.